I love being with the church on Christmas morning. Now, I would do this every year, and I would probably be the only one. I know my family wouldn't join me, but I love worshiping together with God's people on Christmas morning. It's right that we worship on Christmas. And it's hard here, right? Because we have put so much time and effort into Christmas Eve. And I just want to sort of represent the congregation and say thank you to the staff for the hours and the hours and the hours of work that went into Christmas Eve. And I know most of you were probably here. If you weren't, it was a blessed evening, such a meaningful time. I could start saying thank you to a lot of folks, and all of them don't want attention. But let me just especially thank Heidi and Jared, sort of the creative energy behind everything that happened Christmas Eve. Would you thank Heidi and Jared especially? I'm sure there's more. I know there's more. What a meaningful event. But, you know, the staff here spends so much time and energy in these previous weeks getting ready for Christmas Eve that when it comes to Christmas morning, they're like, oh, who wants to preach Christmas morning? I'm like, I do. Me. Christmas morning. I love Christmas morning. So even if you weren't here, I would be here today. And we have a lot of family traditions, and your family, I suppose, has traditions, as a church family has traditions. And a video reminded me of a family story we like to tell on our daughter, Kayla. She was about four years old or so, and our family was pastoring the French church in Whittier. And we, like Rose Drive, would decorate the sanctuary during Advent with Christmas decorations. And one of the Christmas decorations we used every year was a nativity scene that we set right in the front of the sanctuary. And my wife, Kim, arranged it very traditionally, very picturesque, you know, Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and some sheep on one side and some magi and camels on the other side and probably a cow in there somewhere. And it was all arranged very beautifully. And Sunday morning early, we would come as a family, and our daughter, Kayla, and her about 4 or 5 years old, she would come. She would rearrange the whole nativity scene into a circle, right? So that all the characters and all the animals are looking focused on baby Jesus. She thought, why in the world are they looking at you? You're not the point. The baby. And so I would get up to preach, and I would look down, and sure enough, ever there would be this circle, and they'd all be looking at baby Jesus. But that's the point, right? It's all about the baby. I mean, this is Christmas. The baby. And the story that we've heard again this morning, the writer Luke tells us that the shepherds, they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. A baby. Really? Now think about that. Is there anything on God's created earth as vulnerable as a human baby? I was struck again this Christmas a few weeks ago when I saw a Christmas card that simply had a picture of a newborn baby. And I remember just you know how things sometimes just catch you, and I just stopped, and I thought, that's Christmas. God comes to us in a baby, right? I mean, think of the last time you held a newborn baby. precious. They're precious. But they're so dependent and so helpless and so weak. Beautiful. I mean, we love them. But I mean, their fingers and their toes are so tiny, they're almost not real, right? And their nose, I mean, the little newborn's nose, it's like something from a doll. And I mean, their head, don't you love the smell of a newborn baby's head? The smell, but every time I take one, they always say, careful with the head, hold the head, right? It's fragile. And their skin, the newborn baby's skin, is so soft and so new. It's like tissue paper. You could puncture it. Right? I guess you could, but you don't want to. Right? You're not supposed to. And we say crazy things about babies, right? They're so resilient. Like they'll bounce. They don't, by the way. And yet, God came to us as a newborn, weak, vulnerable, dependent, human baby. It's crazy. It's insane. I was struck. We a few weeks ago, we hosted... several of you helped us host a Christmas party for our global students. And we had about 50 students, international students, most of them from Cal State Fullerton here. All of them international students from places like China and India and Iran and other places. And so many of you have welcomed them into your homes and you've befriended them. And we had a wonderful Christmas party. But at one point in the evening, someone asked, how many of you here have never celebrated Christmas? And there were about a dozen hands that went up from our international students that have never celebrated Christmas. And so I thought, oh my goodness, I want to go back to that. And so as Ray Canfield told the Christmas story, I imagined in my mind that I'd never heard it before. And I've heard it since before I can remember. I've heard the Christmas story. But I went back in my imagination and I thought, what would this sound like to me if I'd never heard this story before? And so I put myself in the place of those international students that had never celebrated Christmas and never heard the story. And I heard Ray tell the story of God and God's love and God's love coming to us in a human baby. It's remarkable. It's unimaginable. I mean, it's almost unbelievable. If you have trouble believing, I understand. But God arrives to us. He comes to us. He arrives with us, among us, as a human baby. Think of this. Consider this. The Creator God, who first breathed life into creation, now takes his first human breath. The sustainer of all things, the Bible tells us, is cradled in his mother's arms. The one unlimited by time and space, confined to a Bethlehem manger. Imagine omnipotent, all-powerful God attempting his first steps. The living Word of God, learning to speak his first human words. Omniscient, all-knowing God, studying to read and write. Christmas is Almighty God, now vulnerable and weak. Creator of heaven and earth, now created. Eternal God, with a birthday. Did you hear that? God, eternal, with a birthday. What a paradox. Now, why? Why did God choose to come to us as a vulnerable human baby? He didn't have to. He really didn't. He could have simply appeared. The Bible describes one in the book of Hebrews who apparently simply appeared. The Bible says in Hebrews 7, without father, without mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days. So there is precedent for that, but not Emmanuel, not Jesus. Jesus is a vulnerable God. And he comes as a vulnerable God to meet us in our places of vulnerability. What is your place of vulnerability today? Think of Jesus. Think of Jesus on earth. The Bible tells us that he experienced the joy of authentic community, the love of a very best friend, the celebration of milestone life events, the reverent curiosity of gathered worship. But he also experienced times of loneliness, grief next to the grave of one he loved, betrayal by one who had declared his faithfulness, deep anguish at a personal decision, misunderstanding by his family and closest friends, and even the temptation to give it all up and walk away, to find his own way in this world. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the fullest picture we have of God, the fullest revelation of God we have. If you want to know God, the Bible says, look to Jesus, who arrives in the most vulnerable form possible. Three images of Jesus shape my vision of him. First, a newborn baby. Mother, father, Mary and Joseph, shepherds encircling the manger, encircling the most vulnerable person in the room. The second image that shapes my vision of Jesus is a dinner table. And one man wearing a towel, carrying a basin of water, kneeling on the floor, washing the feet of everyone else in the room. Again, the most vulnerable person in the room. The third image, a cross on a hill, surrounded by soldiers and observers. Again, one who has made himself the most vulnerable person present. Why? Because that's where we meet him. That's where he offers himself to us. Yes, yes, God is almighty. He's eternal. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And I praise him that he is. We need that strength. But he meets us in our places of deepest vulnerability. He comes to us as a human baby. So when you feel vulnerable, when you feel weak, when you're in trouble, when you need help, remember there is one. There's one who is, He is already the most vulnerable one in the room. He's in the manger. He now wears a towel to serve. He hung on the cross to meet you, to minister to you in your place of need, of vulnerability. Come this Christmas. Join the circle at the manger. Come meet God with us, God for us, God become us, to wrap us in his love, to shower us with his grace and mercy, to heal us where we are broken, to forgive us when we've rebelled, to welcome us into his family. Would you meet him today? Let's pray. We're in awe, God. We're in awe as we consider your incredible love, that you would meet us. You would meet us not from afar, from a distance, but you would come all the way to us in the form of a human baby to present yourself as a vulnerable God, willing, hoping, loving to meet us in our places of vulnerability. So we stand at the manger in awe, in worship, in praise, thanksgiving. And we offer our lives to you. We give to you our lives and our weaknesses and our vulnerabilities and our questions and our doubts and our sins and our frustrations and our hurts and our wounds. We give them to the God who understands and embraces us with his healing, saving power. We love you, God. Thank you for loving us so much. In Jesus' name, amen.